Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 342. I am Chris. Back from Florida is Tony.
I don't have a tan, though. No tan at all.
No tan.
Do you burn, Tony?
No, I don't burn.
Oh, okay. Well, you're lucky. Okay.
No, but I mean, that's what happens when you spend all your time in a ballroom. So. Jeff is here as well.
I'm also white.
Pete, are you white?
As far as I'm aware.
Okay, so four white dudes.
I'm actually more of a lobster, I'd say.
That should be the name of our podcast.
Four white dudes. So when we started it, Jeff, we couldn't have been four white dudes. We've been three white dudes and a Middle Eastern.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Four white dudes and a Persian.
Right. You always forget about Fozzie, don't you?
Persians, three white dudes.
I always forget he's not a white dude. He's just so bro that I'm just like,
right?
He's white. He's honorary white.
Oh my god.
Fozzie knocks up our diversity quotient. So, all right. So, the Switch release. We talked about it extensively last week.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
But did we talk about it enough?
No, because we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit more.
I got some. That's part of the news. I don't know if you want to loop that into just discussion here now, or
yeah, bring what you got there right now.
All right. So obviously, after the Thursday night event, there was the Friday night treehouse thing, and they had like they played games and they did this, and everybody got to touch it. Do all sorts of things.
Ooh, I love to touch it.
And like prove that it was real because they could feel it in their hands. And
oh yeah, I love to feel it in my hand.
Yep.
You gotta get that.
I mean, hey man, did you guys see those videos of them playing that goddamn milk game?
No.
The utter like milking the cow.
No, but I did hear
very central
the Vice Gaming guys talk about it.
Yeah. So. But I guess
HD Rumble.
Yeah, HD Rumble. Kotaku had sent them. Like, I guess this was over email. A bunch of questions, and oh, man, you've never seen Nintendo dance out themselves out of having to answer a question like this. But it's not backwards compatible.
Well, we kind of knew that.
Yeah, right. Right. Just due to the.
I mean, it's not discs; it's carts. So.
You know, what would be cool is if it could run 3DS carts because they're almost virtually the same. Shape and size.
Are they like different sizes though? Aren't these a little bigger, right?
It's close. Yeah,
I mean, you could have it where it would just like move a little slider over or something in the same way that like you could run Game Boy Advance games on a GBA or something like that.
Or like you could run DS games on a 3DS. Like they're not exactly the same size cart.
Yeah.
They have nothing to announce on how the Switch will connect with Wii U 3DS accounts, whether it will be compatible with existing virtual console purchases, and how SNES functionality will work.
Here's the answer to all of that. No.
Yep.
Probably.
In terms of storage, it does have the 32 internal, like we said, but it will be easily expanded using micro SD cards, even though, and it will also support the upcoming 2 terabyte cards that aren't out on the market yet, but when they will, the system has native support for them. So
that's nice. I mean, right now, anything over like 128 is not to me not really feasible to use, but because cost prohibitive
is the highest that they have.
Yeah, 256 is, and that's like about $100. Yeah,
right. No trophy achievement system to announce.
That makes sense. I mean, I didn't think they were going to. I would love to see them put like trophies and stuff into like virtual console games and stuff because like somebody out there has already done that work. I mean, I've heard about it talked on like the Giant Bombcast before, where there are old like Nintendo games, old Genesis games that have had people put trophies into the game. So
yeah, and even old Mario games used like on the Wii and Wii U had this thing called the stamp system, like that acted as a not a system wide like a trophy or achievement system, but within that game was the same thing. And a lot of people I think were surprised that they didn't carry that sort of thing over.
I don't think that they have a lot of things, like certain things figured out. Like they don't have that. They don't seem to have the online figured out. They don't seem to have the eShop still figured out.
Yeah.
Which is fucked because their system's launching. So yeah. What are you doing?
No Miiverse.
Like a month.
I mean, we knew that, right? But you still can create a Mii.
Miis.
It's just buried in the system options now, and it's used only for games, like older games that supported that stuff.
Like Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, and I'm sure at some point, like you're gonna be able to play, you're gonna be able to download Wii games onto this thing at some point. Like they haven't announced that, but I'm
sure. At the very least, they'll be happy to sell them to you again.
Right, like yeah, because like the controllers are basically like little Wii remotes, right? Like so.
Yeah. They don't have. I don't know if they have as many buttons though, so that might be weird for certain.
I think they have more buttons.
Yeah. Does a Joy-Con have more than a single?
The Joy-Con has two shoulder buttons,
right?
And it has four.
Base
buttons and the analog
right.
stick.
Well, okay.
So.
Yeah. I guess the nunchuck doesn't have a stick, right? That's what the.
The nunchuck is the stick. Yeah.
Right.
The Wii remote didn't have much of it. You know, two buttons, a little shoulder button, and the D-pad. That's all it really had.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it could work. I'm sure they could make that work.
No video services, like Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, HBO Go, will be supported at launch, but their support is being considered.
Considered. Not even definitely not in the pipeline.
Just like my purchase is being considered.
Yeah. And then in terms of region-free, they said, well, online store, the region-free are just cartridges. They said, Nintendo Switch system is not region-locked, but we recommend that players buy games within the region to ensure full service and support. The user will access Nintendo eShop that corresponds to the country identified in their Nintendo account, but up to 8 user accounts can be created on a single system. So if you wanted to buy stuff from the Japanese store, it's just a matter of
putting
in a Japanese, same way you would do it on PlayStation or something like that.
Right, but isn't it like, don't you have to jump through hoops to do it on like PlayStation?
On PS3, you had to like fake an address and stuff, which is how I downloaded like the old Catherine demos and stuff. I don't know how easy it was on the PlayStation 4 because I haven't done it yet. But hopefully this is because like in certain Asian countries they require like in Korea you have to enter your social security number equivalent,
right,
and in Japan, yeah, I do think you need, like, to put in your whole address. It's not like here where you just put in an email address and everything's fine.
Right.
So, and then I guess rolling into Nintendo, right, literally 2 days later, they had the Fire Emblem Direct. And that, in terms of Switch news, just says that they are making a full-blown
Fire Emblem
game for the Switch that will be out in 2018. Fire Emblem Heroes, which is the Warriors, is the like Tecmo Koei game, which is or not? Sorry, is that them? The same guys who did Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, I think that's Tecmo Koei.
Okay.
Do people care about Fire Emblem?
Yes,
people do.
People are flipping their shit. And actually, in terms of yours and Jeff's comment, like. Somebody was saying that it, like, they cited an interview with Nintendo back during the Wii that they said if Fire Emblem Awakening or something didn't sell more than 250,000 copies worldwide, like, that was their high expectation for the series, that they would just put it on the back burner like they have all their other ones. And since then, they were literally like, here, now, this whole thing, they held a whole hour and announced 5 different games.
Yeah, well, and didn't the last Fire Emblem game, like, sell like over 1 million copies or something like that.
It did well, yeah.
It did really well. Like, and so, yeah, they announced 2 more 3DS games. Or is it just one? I don't know. They might be doing the 2 version thing like they did last time.
Fire Emblem Echoes or something like
Echoes,
that.
Echoes, Shadows of Valencia.
Comes out in May.
Yeah, April 20th, Japan, May 19th in Europe and America. And we'll, yeah. So, and then Fire Emblem Warriors, and then the mobile game, right? But in terms of Switch news, it was just those two games. So,
so Tony, you know it's $300.
Yeah.
Comes with two controllers, slide on the thing. Yeah.
Those controllers look hella awkward.
They really small.
My hands will not hold one of those things.
Yeah, so you're going to end up having to pay $70 for a pro controller.
Exactly.
To be fair, it might be easier to hold in the grip. Like if you're playing, if the system on the TV.
Another fun thing. The grip that you
it's not a charger, yeah.
The system. Nope. Yeah, the grip that comes with the system, you can't charge
it. No, it's literally a piece of plastic that just holds the controllers at a hand's width and then has little lights that tell you how charged it is.
But you can buy a grip that you can charge while you're playing for, like, I don't know how much. Like,
I think it's $30.
Money. Yeah, $30.
The one you buy has the USB-C port.
Every possible way, I feel milked.
Yeah, and I'm sure that like Nyko or somebody like that will have like a cheaper version of that out there immediately. I don't know. So, Tony, was anything that was announced like you did not get a Wii U?
No, and I don't see anything here that's going to make me get a Switch. The thing that will make me get a Switch is Pokemon.
Yeah, buddy.
They didn't talk about it at all, right?
Right, which I think they're probably saving for E3.
Fingers crossed.
It's still, like, very... I found that the whole presentation and everything that we know right now, I find all of it very troubling and, like, confusing. Like, what have you guys been doing? You have been... They've been, like, absent from video games for, like, a year plus. And what the fuck have you been doing? I don't understand it. Like, can I go on my little mini rant here?
Go ahead, Jeff.
It's a miniature rant.
So you can have mini rants.
Difference.
What they needed to do with this system is go, hey, this is like what the Wii U should have been, but it's awesome. Like, you could play at home, and you could take your home console games out with you wherever you want. Really cool. Also, guess what? Since now we have consolidated, you know, our handheld and our home console business, we're going to be able to support this fucker with or without anyone else. Look at all these awesome games we have coming out this year. And instead, their presentation was the opposite of that. And also, it was like, hey, remember the Wii? Wasn't the Wii cool? Check out this fucking stupid motion controller game for like 20 minutes of your presentation. Like, it just feels like they don't know what they're doing at all. When the initial trailer for this thing, you're like, oh, cool. And like, the whole idea going in was like, oh, like now they'll be able to support a console like this on their own, and it's going to be awesome. And like, that is not at all what I see here. And it's like, and where are the handheld? Like, where are the 3DS type games? Like, you got Fire Emblem coming, but like, yeah, where's Pokemon? Where's anything like that? Like, what the fuck have you been doing?
Pokemon, I at least understand because there is like Pokemon just came out in November.
True.
Yeah. And so there's like came out. Like that game is still probably selling really well for them right now.
Right, which is why.
Why does this console exist? I don't understand.
I don't know. A lot of people still think that for whatever reason they're releasing it in March because they need to meet some fiscal quota, and that's why it's not launching in the summer or something like that. And
makes
why,
perfect sense.
And why online functionality isn't in there? Why the whole thing is rushed?
Because they're going to sell out of that 2 million ship. They already did. They've sold out of the initial allotment.
Right. People are goddamn insane.
But I'm not going to lie. I went out Friday. I had a doctor's appointment, and I went to Best Buy. I was like, hey, where's your pre-order? They used to have a pre-order machine like that you could – like, and it's gone. And I was like, how do you pre-order shit here anymore? He's like, well, what do you want to pre-order? I'm like, the Nintendo Switch. They just shut off pre-orders for us. This was at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Jeez.
Like it was already shut down at Best Buy. Now they had some online all the way on Best Buy and GameStop through Monday. I dicked around and ended up not eventually pre-ordering, but yeah, like they seemed like they are completely sold out of that thing right now. So they were going to sell that 2 million plus all those accessories and like, cause people are going to buy some of that shit and
yeah,
they're going to make their numbers for this year and then they'll get a holiday bump. You know, when Mario comes out then it's holiday time and people will buy it up again and they'll make the numbers.
That's it. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like This is like I had someone say to me on Facebook because I did a little rant about them. They're like, "Well, based on their pre-order hype, I don't think they'll be really missing your sale." Which to me, like, well, that's like what people used to say to me during the election. Hillary doesn't need your vote. Yeah, how did that work out, motherfucker?
Well, I mean, like initially, like you, I'm not buying this thing at launch. Like I saw your post.
But
I do understand what our other friend Tony was saying, because like they've sold out. Like it's already
sold out.
That
means nothing, dude. That means you know what else sold out? PSVR pre-orders sold out. Sure. How's that system doing?
And I'm sure the Wii U sold out at launch too. Like,
yeah, absolutely, everything does. Right. Like,
yeah, especially with Nintendo, like their method is to under deliver so that way it looks like you can't find the thing. Except in late cases, it's been to then not restock and meet that demand.
Well, I mean, they are putting out 2 million of these things, so they've sold out of that initial allotment. Like,
right, but I wonder, like,
that's what the PS4 sold in the first 2 months.
Was it 2 million?
Yes, in the first 2 months that the PS4 was out, they sold 2 million units. So
that means none of that means anything, dude.
You're not wrong, but like they're not missing your sale right now. Like they may be missing your sale later on, but they're not missing your sale right now.
2 million. They could have sold 2 million Wii U's at launch. It doesn't mean that it's a healthy console at all. Like, and like to the point I just made, PSVR, they did not sell 2 million. They sold out of pre-orders, and that thing ended up selling throughout the year less than 1 million units. So,
right. Well, what I'm telling you right now, this has already doubled that. Like,
yeah, that's nothing though. Like, 2 million units is nothing. Like,
two million units is like 17% of what they sold on the Wii U.
Yeah,
I know, but it's going to just hit a dead stop after that.
I don't disagree. But for what they have, and eventually you will buy one.
I know. I'm going to, and mainly it'll be due to Mario.
Yeah, like, I mean, worldwide,
I need that game.
Yeah, as of September 30th, which was the latest report I could find, the Wii U has sold 13.3 or 0.4, I guess, if I round up generously, million units.
That's abysmal. So, okay, and even if, like, even let's say a Switch doubles that, that's still not great.
No, I mean, 26 is still we're coming up on a quarter of what the PlayStation and Xbox are doing right now. But they've also,
I think 26 would be less than GameCube. So, I mean, think about it.
Yeah, I mean,
they're in bad shape.
It's not.
GameCube sold 21 million.
Really, I thought they sold 30. All right.
Yeah. And then what, the Wii is like 125 million or something ridiculous like that.
I actually looked at those numbers today because somebody was saying, "Oh, Nintendo never releases numbers." Like, no, they're like readily available online. So
yeah. Nintendo doesn't have to release numbers because retailers do.
But I mean, like
they legally have to because their
investment, like the Japanese Nintendo has them out on their financials.
Yeah.
Tony, did you see the trailer for Mario though?
No.
So good.
No? Oh, my God.
See, I assumed, until somebody told me otherwise, I had assumed this Mario Odyssey game was like some sort of compilation or something.
Oh, no, it's a brand new...
It's a Mario-ass game.
I was slightly more excited when I heard that. Like,
yes.
Yeah, awesome. An inch more excited.
And you know what? You have, at this point, 10, 11 months to continue being excited about that before it really, it, you know, more likely longer, more likely a whole year and a half before that game comes out. So,
also, did you see the Zelda trailer, Tony?
I don't care about Zelda. Sorry.
Oh my God! What is wrong with you?
That Zelda trailer was good, though.
You missed it last week. I confess, I like literally cried at it. I was like, "Holy shit!" Like, I wasn't expecting it. It came out of nowhere. The tears just started streaming. It was that beautiful.
He did have tears.
God, Jesus Christ. I might have been able to understand it if you had never seen anything about this game.
Nothing about that game had ever looked, dude, nothing that they had shown about that game ever looked as amazing as that. Like, that was your first peek at, like, all they ever shown us before is him standing in a fucking field. Or, you know what I mean? Like, they're not doing anything. This is like a full on cinematic trailer showing all sorts of crazy action.
Well, how crazy is that? You can even say that about a Zelda game.
and people are talking. There's like voice acting and shit. Like it hit me out of nowhere. I was not expecting any of that. Like I was just like, wow, this game. It was the first time I looked at the game and went, this game looks incredible. Like it looks really good.
Modern so excited. Game, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm so excited to play.
There were some articles around there about the differences between the two, and they seem to be fairly minor graphically and resolution wise between the Wii U and Switch.
I looked at like a comparison, and I will admit, I think the Switch version graphically,
it just looks like
a different filter. It just looks like a different filter, and I think it does look better.
Brighter. There's more detail. There's more trees. There's more.
Yeah.
It's
better draw, I imagine.
Well, I mean, like you can't really tell that with like screenshots. They were doing side by sides of the Wii U and the Switch version, and Switch definitely has more detail to it, and the color seems a little crisper.
It just pops better.
I mean, at least it's making use of that. They did come out and confirm that that Legend of Zelda is the very last Wii U game ever, which we knew. What interests me, and I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on it, is Fire Emblem Echoes' existence as a 3DS game.
It's troubling.
Like, does now? I wondered like if this game was greenlit pretty quickly after Fates, or around the same time, maybe.
Just like a holdover.
And yeah, like it's just like, hey, this game was already a year and a half in development, and we'll let it run its course. And there might be one or two more stragglers on the system.
Nintendo did come out and say that, like, hey, 3DS is not over. But they also said that about, like...
Well, Game I mean, that's...
Advance.
That's them hedging right? Like,
yeah.
That's them going, fuck, we don't know if this is going to succeed or not. But come on, the 3DS is like, how fucking old is it now? Like, 6 years?
6 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's old.
Yeah. Like, I would be nice if they don't. Like, what they could do is if the Switch doesn't take off the way they do, just whatever the handheld successor to the 3DS is roll with that. I mean, I don't think anybody wants.
But this two is
consoles,
that. Dude.
That's
the thing.
Hey,
that's like they need to just drop it. They need to like fully commit to this and do it right. And like that's the scary thing. It's like, where are the games?
Hey, man, they just added The Binding of Isaac as a launch game.
There you go.
There,
yeah,
great. System seller right there. That the game that has been out on every console for years is.
But I've gotten.
It is the new expansion pack. To be fair, but yeah.
How new is the new expansion pack?
The latest one. I don't think it's out yet, or maybe it just came out.
So they're still Binding Isaac.
Dude, I heard the Skyrim game. Skyrim, first of all, comes out like this fall.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I heard it's like, I don't know if it was we talked about it last week or where I heard this, but I heard it's just, it's not special edition. It's just,
like, yeah, we talked about that. It's, yeah.
I don't think the special edition could run. It was made to run on modern consoles, not
the
previous gen.
Yeah. Wow.
That is.
I'm not surprised, though. And also, there's speculation that it is maybe the tablet version of that game.
Oh, God.
Is there a tablet version of Skyrim? Or you mean like the Shield version?
No, there is not a tablet version announced yet, but I guess there's speculation that it could be coming to like iPad this fall.
Hey man, put some Knights of the Old Republic on that Switch then, man.
Can I throw something out there? Like, dude, Wii U launch had like 20, 30 games at launch, and it was like, yeah, maybe you played them already, but I was like, dude, you had Mass Effect, Batman, like they had like a healthy, somewhat lineup. Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty. What the fuck is this, dude? Like, this is worse. Their one Ubisoft game is Steep, and that's coming out like this fall, and it's a game that barely anyone bought on the other system.
As far as I'm aware, Just Dance is also coming out.
Oh yeah, my bad. Yeah, I'm sorry. You just factor that in there just because like Just Dance is on anything. Like,
right, but it is it is launch day. But yeah, I just looked up the list, and yeah, I mean, with the exception of, okay, granted, I can see about six or seven last generation games, maybe eight or maybe 10 if we're generous, but I mean, yeah.
Dude, April, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like a re-release of that. Like, I don't know, dude. Why am I, like, what are you, What? Why am I buying this? There's no reason.
Because you're a Nintendo fanboy and everything they say is magical and golden.
Did you pre-order it, Jeff?
No, I'm not getting it until Mario comes out. Like, I'm not going to buy it to play something. I could just buy Zelda for $60. I'm fine. Like, I don't care about the slight bump in graphics.
You're going to get it, Jeff.
I'm going to get it when Mario comes out. I am not getting it this March. I'll tell you that. It's not happening.
You're going to walk into a store, like, middle of March, and you'll be like, oh, there's one here. You're going to be,
if he can find it in the middle of March, something has really gone wrong.
Like, maybe.
I don't care. I fully expect it to go wrong.
If he really wants to.
I'm mad at them. I'm mad at them about everything they've been doing, dude. It's just, I will get it, like, begrudgingly to play Mario, because Mario looks incredible, but...
Well, my hope is that by the time you begrudgingly get it for Mario, that...
We'll, like, be past E3 at that point.
Things will have smoothed out a little bit, yeah. Like,
and hopefully. We'll know more about what's coming later, like, and what their plans for the next year are.
At least when I pick it up then, I'll be able to buy a couple games. Like, I'll be able to get Splatoon 2, I'll be able to get Mario, I would maybe get Mario Kart 8 Deluxe because I still play Mario Kart 8. I love that game.
And like, they're adding new courses to this. There's new characters. Yes. Like,
and it should include all the DLC from the as well.
It has everything.
And I have a feeling that we'll, like, what you'll find is, like, once E3 rolls around, that we're going to get, like, Smash Brothers Deluxe with all the DLC and new characters there as well. And
where's our Bayonetta 3 announcement?
I'd be all over
I bet that.
That
doesn't come out for Nintendo console if that game ever comes out at all.
I'd be surprised if it did, but I don't know, dude.
Where is our Token Platinum game? Because they did, what did they do? Wonderful 101 for new
Scalebound coming to Switch.
We're going to talk about that.
Scalebound
later,
coming to nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we talk about the online services last week about how? About like voice chat and stuff is like a mobile app on your phone.
Yeah.
And not actually tied into the system in any way, shape, or form. Like, that's how you do party invites and voice chat and.
Which, honestly, I think the only time I've ever tried to talk on a Nintendo game is when I tried to play with Jeff and Fozzie with Monster Hunter, and then with Mario Kart. Like, I don't know.
Right, they don't have a lot of games that are conducive to that sort of thing. Like, you're not gonna.
Well, and even, like, I don't know, Jeff. Do you remember when we played Mario Kart? Like, you couldn't talk while you were racing. It was only seconds. It was only like the 20-second intermission.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's only while you're waiting for the next race to start.
That's so stupid.
It was so weird because the voice chat was great on Monster Hunter and. It just used the built-in mic on the gamepad. It was awesome, dude. Like, what the fuck? Why did they never even use that? Now here they're just like cutting it out completely. Like, yeah, you can get an app on your phone. Yeah, I could also use my phone and just call people. We could do that too. What the fuck?
I'm honestly surprised they just weren't like. Well, people put Skype.
I could download
on their phones,
Skype,
right? Or Discord or whatever.
Set up a Google Chat or something. Like,
I'm doing this podcast on my phone through fucking Hangout. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not too concerned about that.
No, I just
it's really dumb.
But like, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's hard to be concerned about those things from the types of games that Nintendo puts out on their console these days. Literally has no use for social features.
For most of the games that I'm going to play on the Switch, it's Zelda, Mario. Like, it's single player games. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
true.
Like, Splatoon is maybe the only game that seems conducive to that environment.
Right,
because it's team based and stuff,
or like Mario Kart Deluxe or whatever. Like, but that's it. Like, until Smash comes out, like, and that's not a game I really enjoy playing online. I know there are tons of people that do, but like, that's a game I more
the
prefer
Wii U online.
With people
was fairly inconsistent, but
So,
yeah.
Did we talk about though the fact that, like, did we talk about their? Virtual console plans
That they don't exist right now.
Well, there's that. Like, they're like implementing this stuff like throughout the year, but that, like, first off, their online is paid for, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And you get a free game every month, but it's only for that.
Only
month.
One a month.
Oh my god! So you have to play.
But it's only
that
for
month.
That.
But
month.
It's only for that month. That's the kicker.
Like, so you don't
download
get
to it. Yeah, they take it away from you at the end of the month.
That would be like, I don't think I played a single one of the Xbox games in the month that has actually come out.
Right. Like, now on one level, it's like, this is really, really dumb. Because, like, there's a model that you could follow. Like,
that is worked out really
why would you
well
make why would you make it worse?
People.
Right, like it worse than the Xbox and PlayStation have done this model. EA does this model. Like, there's a model you can do to make this work. The other one is, like, I don't know, like, outside of certain virtual console games, I'm not going to ever spend more than, like, 10, 20 minutes on them. Like,
but what if you could play online?
I'm still, no. Like, yeah. Like, no. Like outside of, like, the big ones, right? Like, and hopefully they find a way to merge those accounts so that, like,
right,
at the very least, we only have to spend $2 more to get it again. But
you know what they could have done? They could have done the other model, but better. They could have
not
said,
been shitty.
They said, hey, you pay for our online service, right? It's $50-$60 a year. But guess what? You have access to our virtual console library. You can play any of our classic games.
Yep.
Yes, dude. Why not?
Oh, that would have been great.
And if they had done that, like, you could just say like online services are free, and this is like Nintendo Premium, like Nintendo Club membership. Get you all this extra shit, like,
right,
and just like been competitive in that edge.
That would sell me the system right away, and that's sad, but I would.
Yeah,
why
no,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's actually the best idea that they could have had, and they did not go that route.
Yeah. Also, one game that was at their event on Friday that wasn't at, their event on Thursday was a remake of Street Fighter 2.
Oh yeah, that's like $40, right?
Yeah, it's insanely priced, but it looks nice. And why the fuck are they remaking Street Fighter 2 again? This edition, I think, is Switch exclusive. It's like Ultra HD Turbo Edition or whatever the hell.
Because it's the best Street Fighter.
Also, brand new Bomberman game, $40.
No, that Bomberman game is like been out on or is coming out.
Oh.
On other consoles like this.
Yeah, that's multi-platform.
Yeah. Oh. And I think it will be out on other consoles by the time it hits the Switch.
I am interested in that Snipperclips game.
And apparently that was an indie game before it became a Nintendo game.
Yeah, it was called
Friend Clips.
Friend Shapes. I don't know. That game looks cool, and I think it's $20, so...
That's a perfect price for that.
Yeah. Like, the $50 for 1-2 Switch, that's mind-boggling. What the fuck? That should have been a pack-in.
It should have been a pack-in?
Yeah.
Like, even as a pack-in, like, I think that game looks
stupid.
Terrible.
Right, like, it's the dumb thing that you can get, like, little kids and old people to play.
Right.
I guess.
Like, it's not what I want, but it should have been a pack-in. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Old people, though, would rather play Wii Bowling.
I would disagree with you.
Yeah, it should have really been Wii Sports, too, right? Like, if you're going to go with that motion shit, you have Wii Sports, too.
Actually, I think if they had just gone and just remade Wii Sports and made it and Wii Sports Resort and smushed them into one game, so it was like 25 minigames, that would have made people a lot happier than what they actually did.
Which is nothing.
Exactly. Well, or 1-2 Switch, you know, which is there.
Right.
I personally would have liked Nintendo Land 2. I like that game.
Yeah,
I
feel like you're maybe one of 15 people.
Yeah. Nintendo Land was a decent game. And
just
it was a pack.
Do that idea. Like, yeah. Have that as a pack. Like, do that idea. Do it better. You know, not motion control games, just like cool games, and make it online. Like, that would have been pretty sweet, but whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. If I see one in March or April, I will probably buy it.
I'm gonna get it
at some point.
And I'm gonna tell you why my thought process went that I was gonna pre-order it, because right around that time I'll be getting my income tax check.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I will have that money. So it's a perfect time for me to get it, because if I wait till the fall, I'm getting a Scorpio.
Like, yeah.
Like I want that. I'm already budgeting for that.
I did not even think of that.
I'll be curious to see what they price that as and what it does. But that's a whole other thing. Because they've been pretty mum on that since its announcement.
Well, I mean,
I'll tell you what.
it was just like proof of concept, really. Like, and yeah, we'll probably get the bigger reveal at E3 this year. So
I hope so, especially if they're going to launch at the end of the year.
What was that, Jeff?
I completely forgot about that. But two, if it did come down to it at the end of the year, like, and I'm buying one of those two consoles, I would have to go with the Nintendo one.
Sure. Already have an Xbox One.
Yeah.
But also, like, but what if Scorpio really is the next step and it's like there's games just for that? And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
they keep saying it's not that way.
So if it's like, not, then
it'll
it'll
be a half step. But who knows what it's become in the 2 years since they announced it.
I have a feeling that, like, because there are going to be games that are Scorpio only. Like, they could say what they want, but, like, if they're going to have VR support, there will be games that are Scorpio only. Because we'll not be able to use VR on the original Xbox. So
But the VR stuff is just, like, Oculus support, right? It's not.
Right, but it's going to have to play on the Xbox hardware, so.
So, technically, there will be exclusive.
There will be exclusive games directly for Scorpio. Like, even if it's just Oculus support, like, if they're tapping in, like, Microsoft is not going to be like, you can sell your, you know, shit through the Oculus walled garden or whatever. So,
so you think that they will put out VR games specifically for Scorpio that will run on an Oculus headset?
Yeah.
Not just, hey, you can plug your Oculus headset into this console.
No, I think there will be specific, these are Xbox One. Like, maybe they're not exclusive. Maybe we're still getting, like, a Drift and shit like that that is on everything. Mm. But it'll be sold through, you know, the Xbox interface. So.
Okay. I'm thinking more of something like Crackdown or something like that. Like, we'll probably be on both, despite their Showstopper app.
You always see that with iOS, too, right? Like, hey, you know, these games are through both, but then, like, eventually they phase out the old stuff and they're like,
and I wonder if they'll have the balls to be the first to do that and just to see how consumers react to that.
Right. Well, I mean, I think if you get people thinking like, oh, well, you know, I can only play the VR stuff here. And like, you find ways to do it, like where it's it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be an interesting year for games. I think
as always,
an awesome year.
Yeah, I mean, new consoles, new Zelda, new Mario.
I'm so, like, if there's one thing I'm positive about this year, it's at least the video games look amazing.
Mass Effect, not too far away.
Yeah. It looks good. Resident Evil in a week.
The first 4 months of this year, I have one game that I'm, like super excited to play. Like, you know, Resident Evil, next month, Horizon Zero Dawn, then Mass Effect, Yooka-Laylee in April. Like, I'm excited about that. Like, I don't know. Just tons so of many stuff. Things.
I got the Horizon and Halo Wars in February for me. And
you're getting Horizon, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good start to the year. So,
yeah, I'm really excited for Mass Effect. We don't know too much about later this year, so, which is actually kind of exciting, which means that E3. You hope
could be exciting,
will bring a lot of stuff that will come out in the later half of the year.
Yeah. All right. So, real quickly, what do you guys been playing? I know, Pete, you said you did not play anything.
Absolutely
new.
Fucking nothing. Wow. Nope. Nothing. I've been playing all.
I've been playing a game that came out 3.5 years ago.
I mean, if we want to be literal, I've been playing a lot of Counter-Strike, but I mean, like, I wasn't going to talk about Counter-Strike.
Tony's going to talk about Total War Rome, too.
Right.
Probably going to be vastly more interesting, so I will concede the floor.
Well, I think the interesting thing is I haven't played Rome in, I don't know, maybe like a year and a half. And I complimented its successor, Total War Warhammer, for some of the things that it innovated. And Creative Assembly has actually gone and added those features that I liked from the newest game to the older game.
Oh, that's cool.
I was kind of excited to see, like, when you're deploying your armies in the battlefield and there are reinforcements arriving, there's now an arrow that tells you where they're coming from so that you can tell. Like, little stuff like that that made the game, like, just easier to play. It was a lot of fun. I have no idea why they would do that, but they did as a service to players. It's just really cool.
Is Rome more popular than Warhammer?
Rome, I think, was the best-selling game of the series.
Okay.
Which is hilarious because it's also the only game in the series that was utterly and completely broken at launch.
Oh, jeez.
But they did their work on it, and now that game is so very good.
That's good.
I've gotten a lot more into the naval combat than I did in my previous playthroughs. Like, I tried to avoid it before, but now it's a lot of fun to send in fleets of ships to ram the other ships. I actually I was able to completely wipe out my first army, but I didn't do it in the middle of a battle. I actually did it because I ran into their army as it was being transported over the ocean.
Oh, nice.
With a fleet. So my fleets have, like, rams, and, like, they're sinking all the ships, and all the units are being instantly killed. It's very, very sad for them. But Rome is definitely... You can get it way cheap now. You can get it with all the expansions, which I believe there are 5 of.
Damn, they have 5 in a year and a half?
Well, I think in a year and a half they came out with 5 expansions.
Jeez, that's cool, though.
Yeah. Gaul, Hannibal, Sparta. Maybe there's, like, 4. But if you were looking for a great Total War experience, like, it's sitting right there. And the funny thing is I can run it on max settings on my laptop, which I could never do before. So now I'm getting, like, the full experience. And since it's, like, 3.5 years old now, it looks fantastic. But laptop can still run it.
Yeah.
So
that's good. Few companies do that sort of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Creative Assembly was in a really bad spot years ago, too, right? Like, until they were bought by... Weren't they Sega. Sold?
So, yeah.
They were used to be THQ.
I think they sold themselves to Sega. But, yeah, they were on the outs. And, I mean, they've been, like, the only thing that Sega has had at times.
Yeah.
Keeping them afloat. So it's
well, and how weird is that Sega, of all people, picked them up and that... Like,
right.
They kind of have now, like, this weird symbiotic relationship now of saving each other,
yeah.
Business wise.
But I'm excited now because Halo Wars.
Yeah, buddy. Assembly,
so
yeah, very excited for that. It's about a month away now.
Yeah, keep seeing messages. I feel like I should pre-order it. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to get that deluxe edition because it comes with a Halo Wars 1 remastered.
Doesn't it come with a couple other things too? They announced.
Thing. I don't know, but like the
special unit skins or something like that, or maybe I had a feeling.
Yeah. It probably does, but I don't know. Like I really just want the remastered version of Halo Wars.
Now is that for PC? That
yes.
That only on the Xbox.
Okay,
so that's the only. No, not Halo Wars 2. The remastered edition.
Well, I mean, like the entire thing is cross by. Like.
Oh, okay. Because Halo Wars 1 was not on PC originally.
No.
Okay.
No. Like, but this remastered version is, yeah.
Also, speaking of that, when Resident Evil eventually comes out, it is a cross-buy Xbox game. So.
Yeah, that's nice. Which has me thinking at some point I may buy that digitally.
Yeah.
Probably not right away because I can get it cheaper than $60, but like it gets a good sale Black Friday-ish.
I bought mine on Amazon Prime for $45.
Right. Yeah, it's like you can get it cheaper multiple ways now. So,
yeah.
Jeff, what have you been playing?
Mostly Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, buddy, sing me the songs of the RPG.
What's that?
Sing me the RPG songs. What do you got?
I finished it, for one.
How long did it take you?
I fucking, like, basically cheated my way through it. So, 28 hours.
How'd you cheat?
How'd you cheat? Because that's actually 3 hours longer than it took me.
Wow, you suck cheating.
I reached a point in, I think it was near the end of chapter 7 where I was like deep inside of like a story cave, like you had to do it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like a dungeon. And I could not get out of there to go grind, which is what I needed to do. So I switched it to easy and just stuck with that because that
plays that way.
Oh, okay.
A lot smoother sailing.
Oh, that's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, because here's the thing you discover when you play. Have you guys played it on easy yet?
No, but I know that you can't die.
Yes, you cannot die, which is
To be fair, crazy. I never died on normal either. Like, I died once by accident. And now, what it does now and I don't know how this works. So, okay, on normal mode, when Noctis reaches zero HP, technically he's supposed to die, but for the 40-plus hours after I played the game after finishing the story, the action would pause, and if I had a Phoenix down, it would let me revive him.
No, that's how it plays, but you don't have those always. They're expensive as fuck. And,
No, but, like, but the one time I died, I also did have them, and that didn't trigger. So I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know if it was a bug or anything like that.
No, you run out, and, it gives you time to use the menu to see, if you want to do something.
Okay.
But I just would often not have anything. So then I switched it over to easy, and then all of a sudden, it goes to that, and then after a couple seconds, it just, a thing at the top of the screen says, Ruby Light.
Yeah.
And then you just come back to life with all of your health.
The little carbuncle.
You think it would give you back a quarter of your bar? No, it gives you back all of your so purposely when my health got low, instead of using an elixir or something, I would just let it I'd run in there and kill me. Yeah, so I could get my everything back.
Nice.
Felt like cheating at that point.
I noticed why.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. Yeah. I mean, hey man, it's easy mode for a reason, I guess, right?
True. I mean, yeah. I was not crazy about it overall. I did like the game, and there's two things I love about it. I love the epic moments that you had, in the fights and shit. And it was fucking Bayonetta level insane. Where you just summon a god from the sky, and I don't know, it was just really cool.
That part was really, really cool. When you do, but it just happens so infrequently.
But it feels like that feels like a payoff, the way the old 16-bit games or old early whatever games used to feel like, where you just build up to an awesome cutscene essentially. That was the payoff.
I mean, I don't know, having played multiple Final Fantasies before this, you used to be able to summon some of those, and they might not have been quite as epic as that, but
yeah,
not predetermined times.
Yeah, no,
they were just were part of a moveset.
Or random times. Yeah. There were times where I'd be fighting something that it was just hey, you can press RT to it's just a random thing. Not something where you would expect to be able to pull in Shiva or something that.
I don't need a god here. I just don't even need
this. For the amount of time I played that game, there were still two summons I was never able to trigger.
God arrives and you're I got this. You can go.
I only ever summoned... Actually, no, I'm sorry, there were three? Maybe, I got Titan once. The very first summon you get, the big rock god, I only ever summoned him once outside the main game. Ramus was the one I would summon every time. If you're outside and it's dark and you can hit low HP, he's got a 75% chance to show up. The other ones...
That what triggers it? It's just kind of it's not predetermined?
It's not. It's you have to. He has to be. They're definitely at low health, and then you have to be at a certain location. So a type of location. So
there's definitely certain points in the game where you can, it is scripted for you to summon them.
I was gonna say near the end of the game.
Yeah,
I was gonna
say summoning Bahamut and stuff like that to fight Ifrit and stuff was different.
I got Leviathan one time. Yeah. Randomly, I think it was pretty cool.
If you're near a body of water, she's more likely to show up. If you're in a field. Then you're almost on a mountain or anywhere.
It does, it's not random as to what summon you're getting because it's kind of location based, but
right. But it's random. Hey, I'm at low HP. Why didn't it show up this time?
To that's what I thought was a little strange. All right. So you see,
that shit is a treat. The combat in general. Sometimes even just the battles. You'd be fighting in the air and shit. Just crazy awesome.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing I really liked about it is the bro vibe, dude.
Absolutely.
When the credits started rolling on that game and they played that cover of Stand By Me Again, I was like, oh, yeah, dude. I remember that from the beginning of the game. And it was I don't know. It's a real, heartfelt kind of moment.
I know Chris, I don't want to, spoil details, but, the moment that happens right before you go fight the final boss, where you're talking to, you're about to go into the throne room.
Ah, okay.
And stuff. You haven't finished the game, right, Chris?
No, I did. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But you know what? Matt talked about it because I finished it.
I haven't finished it though.
Okay, well, yeah, for Tony's sake, then I won't spoil it. But I mean, yeah, well, that moment like makes an entire mechanic in the game entirely worth it.
I'm not sure what I don't know what you're getting.
Okay,
at.
So you're but so you're, okay. So you
like
have,
fishing finally comes through. All right,
fishing doesn't, but
oh, the photos. Yes,
right.
Oh yeah. Okay. You know what? Really, like, kind of like, I won't like be super spoilery, but I think like near the very, very end of the game, like right might have been in the credits even. There's like another campfire scene that I thought was like pretty like emotional, like where he's just like, "I love you guys." I was like, "Damn!"
Right, but and like, the funny thing is like throughout the whole game, you're like why? What's with the photos? And why did every time do I see these? And I don't know why I saved a bunch of them. Because I thought during the credits it would play them, and they do. But like, then at the end, they ask you to choose one, and you got to look at like all the photos that the game took for you over the entirety of the journey. And
I only had two photos.
Well, right. I mean, the game takes one for you, right? I had 60.
Yeah, I was up there. I was around that.
But like. I actually like that's. I thought that was unique. I was like, "Oh yeah, it's really hard." Like you play an RPG game for so long, and this game has a way to remind you of what it was like, and what in the beginning and in the middle, and then you know,
and like there are aspects of like who these characters are and what they meant to you and
right.
So yeah, it did a good job with that stuff,
and I was surprised like. For a while, you're always like, God, fucking prompt up with these dumbass photos and stuff, and it always asking, like, prompting you to save photos at the end of every chapter and thing and stuff, and then, like, it comes back around, you're like, oh, shit, this is why they did it, okay, like...
Yeah,
I guess that's cool.
For it to come back that way felt, like, surprisingly thorough in a design sort of way.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, that's my takeaways from it. Like, you know, not my favorite thing ever. Like I said, I would love more loot and shit like that to it, but...
Loot, man.
I'll give it this. It's the first JRPG that I've beat, like, unless you count, like, Dark Souls or something as a JRPG, but... You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just that style of game, it's the first one I've ever, like...
It's your first anime-ass JRPG.
Yeah,
it's
like...
It's certainly an anime-ass
Well,
RPG.
Like, I've played Tales of Symphonia. I probably put 30 hours at least into that, but I never beat it.
You know right, but mean? That's so, about a quarter of the way through the game.
Yeah, like, I probably put, like, 60 hours into that and did not beat it, but...
And you put a bunch of Xenoblade. Time into Xenoblade, too, right?
Yeah. I put, like, 70 hours in Xenoblade and did not beat that either.
Right, so. And this is a very easy Final Fantasy game to beat, like, whether you put it...
I guess.
Just in terms of length. Like, you don't have to dedicate 6 months to...
Right, so, I mean, how long did it take you to beat, Jeff?
Like 28 hours. It got me through January nicely, though. Yeah. It gave me something to play.
Yeah, so I don't think, like, I ever beat any of, like, the PlayStation Final Fantasies in less than, like, 40 or 50 hours. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're into, like, loot and hunts and stuff, now that you've finished the game, you can go back and do the legendary quests, and those are, like, hey, each enemy is 20 levels higher than the one that came before it, so get fucking ready. And then the last one you fight is actually 20 levels higher than the cap that you can reach in the game.
So it's at like 120 or...
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of easy, you're fine.
Right. So I didn't know about this. I have done everything in that game by the time that I finished it, with the exception of one or two things. And there's apparently an endgame boss that has no quest related to it. That just hangs out near the opening area of the game.
Hmm.
That's level 99 and has the highest armor threshold in the entire game. And I'm just like, I can't anymore.
Just put it away, Pete. Put it away.
You know what you should do? You gotta get Dark Souls, Pete. That's what you should do.
All right. Jeff, you also played Steep.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if we talked about this game at all. It's fucking weird.
Talked little bit about it. You hadn't played much of it the last time we talked. So.
Let me just describe like a moment in Steep. You jump off of a platform and start paragliding. And you're like going through rings and shit. Like just going around the side of a mountain paragliding. And while you're doing it, there's a voiceover narration from this lady who is like doing like a poem, like poetry about nature and about fucking like the mountains and how beautiful the mountains and the snow are.
And as that's
happening, there's a song behind her in the background that sounds kind of like a Coldplay song. And you're like, what the fuck is this game, dude? Like, what is it? I can't wrap my mind around what this fucking game is. Like, as much as I play it, I'm just like, where are we going with this? But that's it. That's, like, Steep in a nutshell. It's, like, this weird spiritual sports game. I don't know.
I love it. What else to say about it? It's a great description.
I feel the same way about Madden sometimes.
It's a spiritual sports game.
That sounds like a game I'm supposed to play while I'm high.
It's great. Like, that's probably what also
does. He still doesn't get it.
Like, it's also open world, like completely open world, where like you can just walk around and shit, like for no reason, but it's beautiful looking. So I guess that's kind of cool. But you walk super slow because you're walking through a foot of snow.
Are they real mountains?
I think so. Yeah, I think they are.
Weird.
But yeah, dude, like I don't know if I like it. I don't like, I'm not drawn to it. That like, here's the thing, I never want to play it, but then when I start playing it, I'm like, oh, this is kind of neat. And it kind of just like reminds me of like Pilot Wings or something, where you're just doing like these little trials where it's like, hey, can you jump off with a wingsuit and try to like land in this area, like, you know,
it's
what I mean,
like zone out planet. And
and it's not like you're not, for the most part, not trying to like do crazy tricks or anything. It's just kind of like, I don't know, dude. Like, you don't know what to, like, I don't know. If that sounds interesting to you, I would say get it at like a cheap price. But it's fucking, it's the weirdest game I've ever played. Like, one of, like, it's, if I had to do a top 10 weirdest games, it's in the top 5 for sure.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should do a top 10 list of that.
Top
10.
Sean loves it. Like he's bought it on like 2 systems.
I've watched his stream.
So what do you think? Like, does it look interesting to you? Like,
no.
It's weird. It's so weird, dude.
I should watch when he streams it to see if. I don't know. That game sounds really strange.
It is. It's like something. Parts of it are sort of compelling, but like overall, it's just fucked. And you want to hear something that really I hate about it? Say you're in the middle of doing something and you want to pause for a second because I don't know, you gotta go piss or something.
So pause.
If you pause, no, you can pause it. When you unpause it, you're back at the start of the event. So like before you like jumped off the mountain or whatever, like you're back at the top. I'm like, that's like a penalty for pausing, dude. What the fuck? I think I might be due to this, like, because it's like a always online game as well. So I think that might be due to that. I don't know. I have no idea, but it sucks.
All right. Well, maybe I'll try and catch Sean's stream if he does it again.
Try to Redbox that shit.
Maybe I can do that. You know, wait till it comes out on Switch.
There you go.
Because that'll be the definitive platform.
I did want to plug Awesome Games Done Quick. Because that, instead of playing video games, that's more or less I just watched a bunch of video games.
Yeah.
Over the past week. And that's like the speedrunning charity thing. And they put the whole stream up on YouTube and they break it up by game. And right now it's just like the direct video ports. The audio is kind of janky, but they do replace them with like the, like, native copies eventually, and that stuff is awesome. If you ever want to see a game you really like just broken in half with like really stupid glitches and stuff where you're just like, A, how did they figure it out? And B, I'm surprised that, like, it's no wonder that this glitch works, because why would a developer ever think that you could glory kill yourself through a wall?
That's like, nuts. Nice.
Like, Doom was one of the games they ran, and the guy beats it in like an hour and 5 minutes or something like that. By like aggroing enemies and the animation of glory killing a specific enemy like makes you invisible, and so you can just clip through the wall. So there's some good stuff there.
I did not have this on the list, but I finished Super Mario Run.
Oh, so the game is four ending? Levels or whatever.
Well, yeah, I beat all six worlds.
Oh,
six.
Then again, there's an ending. Like, you rescue the princess.
Do you defeat?
Yeah, I guess. Like,
well, that's what I mean. Like, in that game, how would doing a boss?
Yeah,
battle?
Like, there are boss battles at the end of each level, and they're exactly what you would expect from like a Mario game, like where you have to jump on somebody's head three times.
Okay.
It's weird because like you only run one way or the other. So you run and you kind of like are stuck like standing against the wall until you jump up and wall bounce to the other side. So you have to like wait for the enemy to run at you. Like the boss battles are really simple, but it's really dumb because like you want to be able to, you know, press the attack and jump on them, and you can't really do that in this. And then, like, the final level is you're chasing Bowser. Well, you're chasing him through a castle, and he's, like, shooting fireballs at you, and you're jumping. Every two or three attacks that he does, there's something you can shoot back at him, and so you got to hit him, like, three or four times, and he goes down. That's a bad Mario game, though.
Yeah, but is it a good mobile game?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so, but I mean, I wanted to see if there was maybe a separation between the two.
No, it's I mean, it's not what you want for a Mario game at all. But there are better like platformers of this type, like the Rayman games are way better.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah,
and they're on iPhone.
Rayman Fiesta Run, Rayman Jungle Run.
Okay.
They're better games than this, and they're cheap.
It's crazy because you would never expect a Nintendo platformer to be second class on any platform. Doesn't matter, like, you know.
Yeah, it's not good. Like, and once you beat it, like, I mean, I guess you can chase after the coins. Like, each level has three tiers of coins. There's purple coins. There's pink coins, purple coins, and black coins. And they're hidden throughout the level, and like you have to do special jumps to get there sometimes. And I guess like if you're into that sort of challenge, like that's there. But outside of that, once you beat the game, then it's just like this rally mode where you're playing against like a ghost of another person, trying to collect more coins, kill more enemies. It's dumb. Like it's a never ending level except for time, so it just keeps looping on itself. Until the time runs out, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Like, it's a bad game.
Yeah. I avoided that one, too. Fuck you, Nintendo. You ain't getting my shit.
My son got a gift card, and he wanted it, so that's what we paid with it, but it's bad. Don't get that game. Don't pay them money
for
that.
I didn't plan it on it, so.
I also beat Jedi Knight and its expansion, Mysteries of the Sith.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
what is okay? So is Mystery of the Sith just more missions? It's like a short story.
I mean, you play as Mara Jade in that, kind of. Like the first four levels are so it takes place sometime after the end of Jedi Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow Kyle is a full blown Jedi at the end of Jedi Knight, so mm-hmm. It's like. I don't know how that's possible. Like, but
oh, don't worry. That game. By Jedi Knight 2, he will no longer have his Force powers, and you'll spend the first four missions getting them back.
Well, that's because in the events of Mystery of the Sith, you start out as Kyle, and then you take over as Mara in like level 5, I think, and she's then the main protagonist throughout that game. And the last three levels are you spent hunting for Kyle, who has gone to this Sith temple, and he's turned to the dark side, and you have to turn him back.
Okay.
And that's why at the start of Jedi Outcast, he's forsaken the Jedi way or whatever. And by mission 4, you have to go to the Jedi temple, get your lightsaber, and you know go run through, which I think it might be the best level in that game. Is that Jedi Temple level?
Yeah.
Well, so far, like I'm on Bespin right now. That game's okay. That Jedi Outcast place, it's slow, compared to how Jedi Knight and Mistress of the Sith played.
Has some good dismemberment, though. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. You can, like, chop people's heads off and shit. Like, the lightsaber fighting in that is very good. And Jedi Outcast, it's a good game. It's just not, I don't know. It's not quite, not the best. I think Jedi Knight might be the best.
Those live-action cutscenes are special.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
In that game, you can turn to the dark side.
You can, yes.
Right, because they're all right. Okay, from what I remember, there were alternate cutscenes.
There's a light side and a dark side path.
Like you can kill Jan and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Okay. What were we gonna ask, Jeff?
Like, how old are these games?
Jedi Knight is 97, 98.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like 20 years old. And I think Jedi Knight is 20 years old now.
Okay.
And Mysteries of the Sith is the year after, and then Jedi Outcast is a couple years after that. Jedi Outcast was 2002. So.
I was just trying to picture the era, like what we're talking about.
Jedi Outcast and its sequel appeared on Xbox and GameCube.
Yeah, Jedi Academy was...
Yeah, I never played those. I remember seeing them all
the time. I actually played Jedi Academy not more than 3 days ago. I jumped onto the multiplayer just for
fun. That's next on my list. So, those are done by Raven, not by LucasArts directly. They were outsourced, which explains the different feel.
Right.
But that series is fun. Mysteries of the Sith is bad. It's a bad game. I'll have a retro review for that shortly. But that's a bad Jedi Knight game.
Yeah, I wish, like, as much as I love those games. And as much as you're just like, yeah, they're bad, but they were super cheesy. I wish that after Academy, which is easily like the lowest rent of the series, I still wanted another one.
Oh, yeah, well, they made Obi-Wan, which is like the spiritual successor to Jedi Knight. And I have that now on Xbox.
I played that. Obi-Wan feels gross compared to these games.
Yeah, I haven't played Obi-Wan yet. I've never played it. I just bought it, and I will be playing it at some point this year. But
for original Xbox?
Yeah,
for the original Xbox.
Nice.
Mysteries of the Sith is bad, though. Like, it doesn't have the live-action cutscenes. So it has, like, this weird jank. Like, I don't... Like, third person in that looks a little janky, as it is. But all the cutscenes are, like, third person, and, like, they kind of, like, clip across the screen as they're running and stuff. And the weird thing, so I had some trouble getting Jedi Knight to work, but I was able to, like, jump through some hoops and get it to play fine through Steam. Mysteries of the Sith would not play at all. Like, it would boot up, it would load the first mission, and then it would crash. So I ended up buying it off of GOG.
And their version works better?
Better, sure. It runs, so that's a thing.
You were able to play it.
I was able to play it and play all the way through, yeah. But weirdly, like, that game has some, and I don't know what the problems are with it, but it kept diving into my music library randomly.
What?
And it would... It kept picking my wife's Jessica Simpson Christmas album at random, and it would just wife, like quote play
wife's.
It was it's her album. Like, she wanted it on her. I
believe you.
Fine, it's whatever. It's my Jessica Simpson Christmas album.
We're all friends here.
Yeah, it's and it would randomly start playing those songs.
would you do a specific action? And it would trigger it? Or just like
sometimes I would load up the game and like load up, like it would load in, and then like I'd be going along, I'd shoot a couple people, and all of a sudden, like, just like the first time I heard it, I was like, this is weird music. Like, I'm in, like, all right. I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Was it the same song every time?
Nope. Okay. It was random songs from that album.
I'm trying to figure out if like the original code was like, it installed its music to a certain area, and because this is a different operating system, it just looks and it picks the first audio thing it can find, but it's a different one every time.
Yeah, it's like a different song. Not every time. Like, I heard a lot of like Little Drummer Boy. That was strange.
That's a special kind of hell.
But I soldiered through that to finish that.
That's unique. Game. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What are your plans after the Jedi Knight series?
Well, I'll play Obi-Wan.
Or Knights of the Old Republic, maybe?
I have Knights of the Old Republic. I probably gonna play the original one on Xbox and then two on Steam because it has achievements.
And I would download the
restoration. Yeah,
and one doesn't have like it runs in like windowed mode on computers. Like the resolution it gets always has like weird borders on it. So playing on the original,
I am gonna play the Knights of the Old Republic games, but. Oddly, out of nowhere, my son is playing it on his phone.
Yeah.
I must have bought it at some point, and he just downloaded it from our library, but he is playing that game currently.
I've heard the iPad version is pretty good.
I don't know how it plays on his phone, but...
What model does he have?
He has a... whatever the new one is, but not the latest new one.
So not a 7, but a 6?
Yeah, 6S, I guess.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Screen's big enough. Hmm.
It's weird. Like, I was like, what are you playing? He's like, Knights of the Old Republic. I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. I'm like, you know, it's a role-playing game, right? He's like, no, it's not. It's action. I'm like, okay. It's like, he told me that the original Final Fantasy was a strategy game. Like, I'm not good at those strategy games you have. Like, that's not a strategy game. It's a role-playing game.
Jeez.
Speaking of role-playing games, I played a little bit more of... I jumped back into Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. That game's all right. I like it more now that I got past, like, through the first act.
You should play it. It's not that long.
I'm almost done it. I just did the Swiss Alps piece, so I think I'm, like, towards the end.
You're halfway through the game.
Really? Because, like, I looked up, like 4 or 5 missions. Like,
yeah. Well, okay, so have you got Marshall? Has Martial Law been declared?
Yeah.
You have about an hour of that game left.
There's a couple side missions that like that just popped up, so I'm gonna try them.
Actually, I think that's when the best mission in the whole game comes up.
I think the end of the game is the best mission. From what I remember, it's like super long.
I got a mission where I had to bust out these guys out of jail.
That's the story mission.
No, it's a side mission.
Oh, I don't remember that one. Maybe I did. I missed one or two. The murder mystery is the best one.
Yeah, so I did like the murder mystery piece before. Where you find the lady, she's been killed.
Yes.
And I did that piece, and yeah, I assume there's like a follow up to the Harvester portion. Shortly, I think I know where it's going.
Apparently, if you're not lazy like I was, there's a much better ending to the story to that side mission. But I just didn't. But fast travel in that game, especially now that the trains aren't running, and I was just not going to deal with it.
I almost just want to continue the main quest because like getting around the city now is a pain in the ass. It's a
goddamn nightmare.
Like because there's just cops everywhere and they'll attack you on sight, even though you're a fucking cop. Like, like you work for Interpol. why can't I be out at night? Like this is stupid.
Because they don't like you because you have robot parts.
My papers say I can do whatever the fuck I want. Like
that game is ugh.
One of my favorite missions was the beginning of the game where like the person's trying to shake you down for money or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm talking about? Like, asking for your papers. Yeah.
So you can play
that so many different ways.
So the mission I'm doing, the one where I'm getting these people out of the jail, is you meet up with the counterfeiter again.
Oh, okay.
She's actually working for the group of people who you're trying to rescue. So.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I definitely didn't do that one. I wish I had. Out of curiosity, did you do the bank mission or the church mission?
I did the bomb maker.
Okay, I did too.
Because it just seemed like the way I was playing it, that made sense.
Yeah, no, same here.
Although maybe not, because the way I play it, I kill everyone. But... I didn't kill her. Like, I talk the people down when I get a chance to talk to them.
Yeah.
But if I can't talk to them, they all die.
Everyone dies. Fair enough.
Like, I try. I really do. I try and punch some people and leave them, like, but no. Like, when they get violent with me, everyone dies.
As somebody who went stealth, That was usually not the way things had to go.
Like, when I left the Alps, there was just a trail of dead bodies behind me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think I did that game no kills.
Yeah, you did. And yeah. I killed three people in that whole game, and it was a pain in my ass.
Yeah, I killed, like, 300 in the past hour I played.
I'm curious to see how the last boss works out for you, because he might be a lot faster than he was for someone to just shoot him in the head with tranquilizer darts for 20 minutes.
That sounds funny. Yeah, I think I would resort to killing him.
I think there was an easy exploit, dude. Like, you found, like, a grenade, like a stun grenade or something, and that was, like, you ran up to him and then punched him or some shit.
No, I didn't do that. I found a corner that I could exploit that he couldn't find, and I just bullets into him.
I mean, I'll find out soon enough, but I assume if you're fighting the big guy, Victor, he's an AUG, so
right,
you could just shock him.
Yeah, that's what you do. You run up and do a quick time.
Yeah, you know, I didn't take the stun gun from the beginning of the game. I had the tranquilizer rifle, and I didn't buy a stun gun, so I didn't have a thingy to fry.
The game's not terrible.
No, but I still think it's worse than Human Revolution.
It lacks, like, a third act or something. Like, it needs, like, another 5 hours.
Yeah.
I think it would have been good. Like,
I mean, I haven't finished it yet, but I would agree. I think, like, I didn't like necessarily the opening. I think it has a really good middle act, like when you're in Prague at night, but it's open. Like, yeah. I thought that section, like, that is some of the best side missions that I played, and now they've made it so that, like, you don't want to travel around the city. So, like, the open world aspect is just kind of, like, been tossed out the window.
I mean, if load times weren't 30 to 60 seconds long, it might not be as bad.
Well, and that's, like, a lot of what that game requires is you to go, okay, you're going here, you're doing one thing, and then you have to go back to, like, another section and, and then go back to the original. So it's like you're spending a lot of time on loading screens, and the loading is bad.
In the 5 minutes it takes you to run your errands, 3.5 of that is spent in loading zones between the various sections of the city.
But I'm glad I went back to it, because, like, I am enjoying it, and, like, the conversation points are great, like, when you get to talk to and kind of decipher and manipulate them through conversation. I think that sounds excellent.
That stuff is awesome.
So
I just wish – I think I got bored of Prague very quickly, and I wish that areas like Golem and not necessarily Swiss Alps, because that's just a base, but other areas that look like they could have been open.
Right.
Like, were open like they were in the first game. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to go to Singapore. I'm going to go to Detroit. I'm going to go to Hong Kong, I think maybe was one of them. I don't remember. There were, like, 3 or 4 different hubs, and it, like, aesthetically changed things up. And it's just like, yeah, this time we changed things up by making it dark. And then we changed it up by making it dark and rainy.
Yep. So, It is getting late now, so I think we're going to forego the rest of the news till next week.
poor Scalebound, never going to get talked about.
Scalebound.
It doesn't exist, that's what we know.
This is true.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Scalebound next week. And Jeff and I and Pete, are you getting Resident Evil? Or?
Yeah, I have it pre-ordered. It's coming. It'll be here maybe Monday. Sometimes Amazon stuff gets here the day before it's supposed to.
All right, so three of us will have Resident Evil.
That does remind me, be very careful, because it did get released out. Like, mom and pops have had it for a while. They broke street date, and so all of that stuff's out there.
I'm not looking at any of that right now. So
apparently there's a neat twist at the end. I don't know what it is, and I was like, I'm not going to click anything.
Nope. Thankfully, story spoilers. So
it's going to tie into the, like, other games.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, there's already Umbrella stuff in that house. It's just a matter of, like, you're gonna find a tomb and Wesker's in it or something stupid like that.
Are you getting the Kingdom Hearts game, Pete?
I might. You
gonna wait on that?
I think what I might do is finish Resident Evil, sell Resident Evil back to Amazon, and then buy Kingdom Hearts.
Got it.
What if it's amazing, though? Like, what if it's a great?
But it doesn't Resident have multiplayer, Evil. So once I finish it, I finish it.
That's not right. It's kind of my plan. Because what I plan on doing is I'm going to buy it physically and then trade it back in to buy something else with it. And then like later in the year when it goes on sale, buy it digitally.
I'm sure they'll do DLC for it because that's what they've done in the past couple of ones, and this one seems rife with areas that maybe you could do little episodes for, especially since how they did like the demo and stuff as sort of a prequel.
Right. And Jeff, you're going to play a little bit of it in VR?
Yeah, absolutely. I might play like my whole first, not my whole first playthrough, but a lot of it.
Part of that, yeah. So we'll get a VR update from Jeff.
Yeah, next week. The last one. Probably.
What happens to your VR at that point? What are you going to do with it, Jeff?
Like, nothing else is going to come out for it, really, so.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, that whole thing has gone dark, right?
I can't imagine. It's almost like nobody heard the voices that were like, we don't want this.
I just want to try the Google Earth VR, but it's not on PSVR. Like,
oh, you need a Vive, right? Talk about,
yeah. Like, supposedly it's amazing. But yeah.
If you got a spare $10,000 sitting around, all right. More power to you.
Right.
Most people don't have that.
And I'd really rather spend it on, like, $1,000 is a lot of games.
Most people can't afford a $1,000 emergency expense. Maybe having
it's not an emergency.
Right. Like, well, even if it, like, the PSVR, what was that, 400, Jeff? 500?
I paid 500 for, like, the package deal.
Bundle, right? Yeah. Like, $500, like, that's a lot of things that I could buy
Then, like, it's so weird because, like, I love the technology, but, like, if it's not going to take off, I wasted my money. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And even still, it's not like something I have some games for it. I don't play it all the time. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know how much longer you should wait before trying to sell that thing back to GameStop or something like that. Get a few hundred dollars back because, like, it seems that everything cool that's coming out is coming out on the other two.
Well, I mean, definitely going to play Resident Evil 7. We'll see. But, like,
maybe E3. But by then, who knows if it'll be worth anything.
I'm just hoping that, like, this technology, like, goes on and that there's second iterations or, like, further iterations of it. And
there will be. I just don't think there will be on Sony's end. They made the lowest end of VR, and it just doesn't do what the others can.
But it also has more out there, right? Like, there's more PSVRs out there than Oculus or Vives.
It's not, like, it, and honestly, like, yeah, sure, maybe they're better, but, like, PSVR is an amazing experience, so if you can even do that somehow a little bit better, but cheaper.
Yeah, my fear is just that, like,
less cords.
Like, of all the places we thought we would have heard of more PSVR games, which was PSX, we heard nothing.
Yeah, like,
and then E3 is going to come around, and what are we going to have? Like, one other third-party game that has, like, VR shoehorned into it?
I guess, like, E3 will be the big test. Like, if they don't come out and have anything for it there, then they've killed it.
I do think we'll get a couple games this year, though, that are, were in development that were more ambitious. Yeah. Like, so regardless of if VR fails, like, they're going to come out anyways.
Right. I mean, Farsight isn't out yet, right? That, like, space shooter game.
That's the shooter, right?
So there's still other releases, but, like, I don't know necessarily. Is Bridge Crew PSVR?
Oh, yeah, that's coming out, yeah. That is PSVR. Okay. That's March, right?
Yes. End of March, I believe.
So, we'll see. I'm really glad that, like, I was able to hold myself off from buying that.
I'm telling you, though, did you go to a friend's and try it yet?
No. My friend does have it, but I have not been over there. I do want to try, because I want to do that. I want to do Batman, and I want to do the Star Wars one.
Definitely got, like, yeah, you got to try it out. It's awesome.
Like, but, even if it's just to, like, see the experience with those two.
Batman might be a hard one to, like, try it out at friends, because it takes, like, an hour and a half.
Okay.
And, like, to play just, like, yeah, I mean, at least try it out. But, like, just if you played 5-10 minutes of it, you're not going to see the whole thing. It's
right.
Doing different things. But that Star Wars one, you can sit down and play it in 15 minutes. It's awesome, dude. Oh, my God.
I definitely want to try it. But yeah, I'm glad I did not spend $500 on it. So
it's so cool though. They just gotta make it better. And
some point
support it. Like it, you can't sell it without like. I'm sorry. Like it's not easy sell without like an actual game. Like it's all like little experiences so far.
Right, and I think that's what it is on Oculus and Vive too, though, for the most part. Like,
yeah.
So they need to make something substantial in it. So, all right. Well, we'll be back next week, definitely with Resident Evil, definitely with a little bit of PSVR.
Continuing Switch coverage probably from now until the end of time.
Yeah, and we will talk about Scalebound.
2 weeks later after the news is broken.
Keep pushing that shit away. we're just going to ignore it like Microsoft did.
Scalebound's dead, baby.
All right. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.